It used to be that all I needed to carry around with me was my keys and my wallet. If I needed more stuff than that, it'd be a lot more stuff, like a bunch of books. So then I'd carry a backpack. Then I got a Leatherman for Christmas, and a Leatherman is a handy-dandy little tool that I will never purposely be without again. I use it on a daily basis at work and at home. It makes me appear handy, even when I'm not. But it does have its uses, and it goes on my belt. Okay. Then my work decided that they needed to give me a separate phone. They often have to get a hold of me at weird times of the day or night, and they didn't want to really figure out personal versus business calls. So instead of paying for my cell phone, I now carry two cell phones. And I also have my wallet. It's kind of heavy, not because of money, but more because of receipts, money I've spent. And then let's see here. So I have two cell phones, my Leatherman keys. They're in here too. And every now and then some other stuff. Still though, this would have been manageable. Stick them in my pockets. And it's a lot of extra weight, so I got to cinch my belt up a little more to make sure that nothing happens. But the final straw is whenever I would go to wear shorts somewhere. Shorts without pockets, because I want to do something kind of athletic, and I still want to take all this stuff with me. Now, how's that going to work? Not very well. I have been getting up early to go lift weights with Nate, and so the first time I did that, I'm wearing the shorts, okay, and I head to my car with my backpack for my work clothes, my lunchbox, full cup of coffee, two cell phones, wallet, keys, granola bar, and my usual breakfast, which is a piece of pita bread with melted mozzarella cheese on top of it. Did I make it to the car? Well, yeah, I did, but not everything made it there with me. And guess what dropped? My breakfast, yes. The pita with the cheese fell cheese side down on the pavement, and I ate it anyway, but I didn't enjoy it. So, I needed a solution, okay, to this problem, and I found one reading about trappers in the Old West. They would usually carry a possibles bag, okay, a bag, a purse, if you will, of all their essential stuff. So here it is, and I love this. It's got lots of crannies, it's got a place for pens, another little zipper pocket there, some extra stuff I'm going to need later. And it's got two great places for my cell phones, wallet, keys. I didn't put the one cell phone in the right spot, and now I've lost it. Okay. I like it right there. Okay. So, it also fits a diaper and wipes, in case you need that. And I only get self-conscious when I go to Walmart, and I'm wearing a t-shirt. When you're wearing a coat, it kind of looks like it might fit. But when you're wearing a t-shirt and you're walking through Walmart or Old Navy or something with this, it really looks like you're wearing a purse and you're shopping. So, but other than that, I love this. This is awesome for me. Do you think this is going to catch on? How many of you guys want to go get one of these right now? Girls, you do not count. In case you are interested, see me later. Cheaperthandirt.com is where I got this particular piece of equipment. In reality, for a lot of guys, this makes sense. Really, you got lots of stuff you got to carry around. But the perception is, if someone gets one of these, people look at them and say, "Hey, that guy's carrying a purse. Hey, he looks like a girl." Now you know why I'm lifting weights. And that it's camo, okay? Trying to look as manly as possible with my purse. Don't guess yet. You probably make it. You can in your head, of course. My final illustration that introduces my topic is, well, my outfit, sort of. What do I look like? I look like a hunter, kind of. And I'm proud of this. 31 years old, never really been hunting. So I was bragging about it. And I said, not bragging about it, but saying, you know, I really ought to go take my hunter safety course and get all the gear and go. And Jeff back there said, "I think you're all talk." Well, so I had to go and do it then. So I took my hunter safety course, 31 years of age. I got my hunter safety course, wanted to give hunting a shot, pun intended. So I purchased my crossbow here on eBay for $85, and I got my hunter and license, and it's got a deer tag on it, so I got that. I got my I got my orange vest, so I put that on, it looked really silly, so I'm not going to do that today. And I've gone to a shooting range, and I've practiced with it, and it shoots really hard. And I had a target, and I hit the target nowhere near the center, but I hit the target a lot in the left-hand corner. So if I aim to the bottom right-hand corner, I ought to get it in the center. Am I a hunter? Come on, someone's thought of the all-important question that they need to ask me here. Besides the target? Have I gone hunting? No. No, something always seems to come up. I actually was kind of going to go yesterday and then didn't. And so if you're looking at me without knowing me, when I have all the gear, and you'd be like, well, that guy's a hunter, except for that sissy purse thing. I mean, he might actually be a hunter. But in reality, I've never gone. So I'll take guesses now what my topic is for this morning. And if I've already spilled the beans to you, you're ineligible to participate. So, Nate, you can hang your head. What am I going to talk about? Probably get kind of close. Did I tell you? Perception versus reality. I was expecting things close, but not dead on. Nice. So the introductions worked. We always hear, make a good impression. And that first video was of a model who at the end looked nothing like she did at the beginning. Really goes to show that many of the things we see and hear aren't really true. The bag, the perception of someone wearing a bag like this is, he's wearing a purse. But in reality, it's a really good thing for me. It keeps my stuff. It is a good solution. But the perception is, he's a little weird. Okay, maybe that's true. And then the final one, I can have all the gear I want, but if I don't actually go hunting, I'm not a hunter. We just had an election. And how important is the perception of the candidate? They might be as dumb as a stump, any of them. I'm not making any political statement here, okay? Don't. Anyway. But if they're perceived to be smart, then in the minds of the public, they are. Those ads we all hate, aren't you glad they're over with? Now we can get down to the serious business of watching commercials for Christmas. Those political ads we hate, the whole point of them is to shape public opinion of what the candidate is or isn't like. And I'm sure all of us have watched that and go, is that really true? There's probably a grain of truth in all of them. But yeah, they're definitely trying to make a good impression for their candidate. First perceptions are very important. Make a good impression. But what do we also hear? You can't trust first impressions. Don't judge a book by its cover. And what is a really big complaint that you often hear about Christians? Probably the biggest point. You guys are all hypocrites. You're not real. You guys sin just as much as the rest of us, maybe even more than the rest of us. When Sean and I visited the prison that my dad goes to on a weekly basis years ago, the inmates were interested to hear our testimonies. But the most important part of our stories to them were the parts where we had messed up, where we confessed that there was sin in our lives, because they wanted to know if we were real. Did we have skin on? Were we faking some sort of righteousness? And honestly, this is one of those topics that I often find myself coming back to. If you've been at LCF for several years, you may even be able to recall a sermon or two on hypocrisy. And I'm not sure if the reason I keep coming back to it is because it is just so prevalent, or more likely, I know how hard it is for me to be real. And I'm assuming that others have the same constant struggle. Because we want to look good. We want people to believe that we have it all together. When actually, in the words of comedian Ken Davis, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that's okay. We're all sinners, but we try to appear like we're not. My main text today is found in the Gospel of Mark. You may turn there, or it'll be on the screen, or you can look back and forth real fast if that's what you want to do. Mark 10, 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. If you cannot receive the kingdom of God like a little child, then you will never enter it. It seems to me that that is a pretty important, it's pretty important that we know what he's talking about here. Verse 14 says that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. What does he mean? This was actually easier to understand before I had kids. Now I know that kids can be just as sinful and deceitful as adults. My girls are always testing Daddy. They love me. I love them. But they also love to get away with whatever I will let them get away with. So it's not sinlessness. These children aren't inherently good. We all know that. Not totally. And we'll come back to that idea of it not being sinlessness. Let's describe some attributes of children. They are generally more trusting. They're powerless. They're real. They're like little open books. When a little kid lies, you can usually tell because they're not good at it. They're dependent. My girls often ask me for food, snack, candy, whatever, because they know they need someone else to get it for them. I don't usually ask people for food. I pretty much just go get it myself more often than I probably should. So, to enter the kingdom of God like a child, does it mean to enter it totally trusting, real, open, powerless, dependent? Yes, I believe it does. But that's not the whole story here. I think that is our job, our responsibility, to cultivate such an attitude. But even by cultivating an attitude, aren't we sometimes, in effect, faking it? So we're back to not being real. I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb here with this passage. I think that when Jesus says in verse 15, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it," he's hinting at the idea that these children, right there at that point, are safe. They're already covered. They have not reached the age where they would be accountable for their sin. Just this week, on the radio station I work for, I heard a preacher say, "Turn to that famous passage in the Bible about the age of accountability. Come on, we all know it. Go there." And of course, it was a joke, because there is no passage that lays out the age of accountability. The idea that there's a certain cutoff age where children, that they're safe up until that age, but beyond that, they need to make a profession of faith. The age of accountability is a belief that is clearly not laid out in Scripture, but the principles of it, I believe, are there, and I believe this passage hints at it. At some point, children come to a realization that there is such a thing as right and wrong, and from then on, they cease to be children in the eyes of God. So how do we enter the kingdom of God? By throwing ourselves on the mercy of an almighty God, accepting Jesus' sacrifice for our sins, being real in that instant, saying, look at the stuff I've done, Jesus. I give this all to you. Because then in the eyes of God, we're like these little children. Sinful, but covered. Because without His help, we can't be real. And if we're doing it on our own, we'll always come across as hypocrites. We will always be fake. No matter what perception others get of us, the more important reality will be that we are not depending on God. So once again, how do we become like a little child? I don't think it's an accident, of course, that in Mark, it proceeds from the story of the little children right into the story of the rich young man. Let's pick it up at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." The young man says, "I have kept the commandments since I was a boy." But Jesus knows that that boy is no longer a boy, and the commandments are not enough, because this young man is a fraud. He's a fake. He's not real. He is not coming like the child. He wants eternal life, but is not willing to give something, in this case, money, up. I don't think this is a mandate that we should all sell off everything we own, but I do think that it means that we need to be willing and ready to give anything up for the sake of Christ. If we're willing to do that, then we are reflecting childlike faith. But as it's already pointed out, we can't do that on our own. The section I read ends with, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." So, what is the point, what I'm trying to say this morning? Well, there are three things dependent on a fourth. Three things depending on a fourth. First, I would like to call us to reality. As hard as it is, let's try to be real with each other and with others who don't know Christ. Be people with skin on. Not perfect. Reality is always way more important, ultimately, than perception. Second, we need to have faith like a child. We need to depend on Christ, wholly throw ourselves on His mercy, and be ready to give up all for His sake. Thirdly, I want to be able to see through the perceptions to the heart of the matter in everything I do and the stuff that happens around me. We all run into situations on a daily basis where we would be tempted to just take them at face value, trusting the perception that we see, when in reality, that perception is often patently false. I want it to be a constant prayer of mine and yours that we could see through those things. Jesus, open my eyes so I can see. I'm reminded of the story from about Elisha in the book of 2 Kings, where the city was surrounded with the enemy and Elisha's servant was scared. And Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see." And God caused the servant all of a sudden to see the hosts of heavenly warriors surrounding the now paltry-looking army facing them. And that is the fourth thing that these other three are dependent on, are depending on God for them. We can't do these things on our own. Try this. Try not to be a hypocrite. try to have faith like a little child. Try to see through the lies to the truth in every situation. We can't do it. Even to say, try not to be a hypocrite, sounds hypocritical. We need God to help us to make it happen for us. So one, I want to call us to be real. Two, have faith like a child. Three, I want to see through the imperceptions and lies that we encounter every day. And those things need to be depending on the fourth. And that's our asking the Lord for them. I'd like to stand to close in prayer this morning. That'd be all right. If you can. Father, we come before you this morning, hopefully as imperfect people who know that we are imperfect people. And I pray that you will open our eyes. I pray that we will be real, that we won't be putting on a front, Lord, but that when we are doing that, that you would remind us of it and help us to be real. I pray that our faith would be like that of a child, dependent, knowing that we can't do it on our own, knowing that we need you for our very existence. I pray that we would see through the lies around us and the things that we do, that we would see our true motives, that we would see that everything that is being fed to us may not be what it appears to be. And finally, Lord, I just want to reiterate that it's all you. I pray that you would work these things in our hearts. That maybe when we get up in the morning, every morning we could say, Lord, open my eyes today. I'm yours. I'm dependent on you for everything. Keep me real. In your name.